Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, as we do every Thursday morning. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, gents. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, we saw DeAndre Hopkins have a significant impact for the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football. A couple of touchdowns for him, 8 catches for him in that game as well. A lot of Titans fans have hit us up with this question this week, so I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. Should the Titans have waited a little bit longer before pulling the trigger to trade DeAndre Hopkins? Do you think they could have drove the price up on Kansas City, or is that maybe overblown around here a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I drove the price up to what? Like, I mean, what I'll ask you guys this. Like, realistically, what do you think is the top market for him? I mean, now remember, age, contract, fit is important, because when I look at Hopkins, I'm like, you know, yeah, generally he could probably go anywhere, but where is he really suited to go? He's suited to go to Kansas City because I think he needs a high-level veteran quarterback who will find trust in him pretty quickly, you know. And I think any other situation that's not Josh Allen, Mahomes, you know, there's just like a handful of spots that to me made sense. It's not like to drive that price up, you have to have a broader market of people clamoring for DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think there was. So, you know, it's, if you want to play chicken and go, well, you want this shiny thing and we're just not going to give it to you, the Chiefs are just going to sit there and go, we're not keeping him. Like, you know, where are you going with this situation? You're going to deal him regardless. I just don't know that there would have been an opportunity to really drive up the mark, because I don't think the Steelers were coming for Hopkins. That he was like the one wide receiver that I feel like they, you know, were not really aggressively pursuing. I mean, they went after like 5-6 guys before they got to Mike Williams. And I never heard inside the Steelers, I never heard Hopkins' name come up. You know, some of the other guys that, you know, Mingo going to Dallas, what a weird trade. I don't think Dallas was pushing for DeAndre Hopkins either. They were looking for a younger piece that had a, you know, multiple years on the contract and they felt like had some upside. It just, the market was more limited for Hopkins than maybe fans realize.
That's wild to me that the Steelers would go through a bunch of guys and not be interested in him. That kind of boggles my mind. On the trade deadline overall, Charles, who made moves? Who changed the math, if anyone? Do you think the Lions did enough with Big Z? Who else stands out to you as, you know, really like having done well here?
Well, I think Baltimore, you know, adding Deontay Johnson, Tre'Davious White. I mean, you know, you look at Baltimore, they had multiple pieces. And I think, to me, not only do I like the pieces that they added, but I think it's clear, like, they know what's going on right now. Like, this is it. Like, we have to win the Super Bowl this year. We don't know how long this is going to last with Derrick Henry. I mean, this could be a one-year splash with him, and then, you know, when the cliff comes, it's going to be a staggering cliff, and we're going to be looking for another running back. So they're sitting there saying, we can't guarantee that Derrick Henry 2024 is going to be Derrick Henry 2025. You know, Lamar Jackson's playing, I think, the best football of his career. I mean, it's insane how well he's playing right now. So I like what Baltimore did. Detroit, I would have liked to have seen them add one more piece. I know they were poking around on maybe a second defensive piece, maybe a wide receiver for depth with all the crap that's going on with Jamison Williams. I think they made some calls on some other sort of defensive options to see if certain guys were available, and they weren't. I think they got the piece that they wanted most, which was obviously Zadarius. I would have liked to see them get maybe a little bit more at the deadline. I think they feel too, though, that they have some young guys on defense that they feel like are getting better. The corners, they feel like are improving. Branch, obviously not getting ejected, is a defensive player of the year candidate. So I think they feel like defensively there are some guys that are going to get better down the stretch as they move forward, which in the past, I think about like Kansas City a couple years back. I mean, the defense was, you looked at it and you're like, man, they got to add something at the deadline. But then all of a sudden down the stretch, you really saw some of the younger players start to play really, really well down the second half of the season. And I think Detroit sort of feels like that's the situation they're in. So those, you know, I was still happy with what Detroit added. You had to get the end. The Dallas thing was weird. I mean, I don't know. I had a front office guy once tell me, he said, the hallmarks of a bad trade or you know, sometimes a bad trait for a front office is when you acquire a guy, particularly a young guy who's been in the league for a couple of years, and you say, well, we really liked him going into the draft, and that guy has presented who he is in the NFL. He's like, why are you still looking at draft assessments versus what he has actually shown you in the NFL? And he said, unless it's he's terrible in the scheme, the coach ruined him or whatever, that's one thing. He said, but if a guy has bad hands, he has bad hands. Like, that's not really going to improve if he's gone a couple of seasons straight and he's working with bricks, you know, above the wrist. And, you know, Mingo's like one of those guys where, yeah, you could say that he was ruined in some ways in Carolina, but he was dropping all kinds of stuff. He was running the wrong routes. I mean, they were so frustrated with him. And I think part of getting Deontay Johnson was upset. It was like they started to clean out pieces around Bryce because I think their math, they were like, maybe some of Bryce Young's problems were also some of the wide receiver problems and mistakes we made there. But I just, Dallas giving up a fourth for that guy is, it's something, that's for sure, because there was no one else going to get him, I can tell you that.
Well, you bring up Dallas. I mean, look, they get smoked by the Packers in the playoff game last year. A lot of people thought they should have fired Mike McCarthy then. They didn't. Now they've lost three in a row. They're 3-5. And, oh, by the way, Dak's hurt. Like, how bad do you think this is going to get in Dallas? And what do you think it signals it means for them moving forward with Prescott, Lamb, and Micah Parsons, who they still have to figure out?
Yeah, you know, Micah's coming back. I think defensively you'll see they'll get a little healthier and they should play a little bit better defensively down the stretch. But, of course, obviously removing Dak, I'm curious to see whether or not the pipe dream of, oh, geez, Cooper Rush, you know, he's shown he can win games. Mike McCarthy, you know, look at his record with Mike McCarthy when he subbed in for Dak, you know, previously. And yeah, good luck with that. Like, I think this is really going to spiral. And I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the season we end up seeing a little bit of Trey Lance actually playing some regular season football for the Dallas Cowboys. They're in really, really big trouble, particularly the NFC East. I think the Eagles still aren't there, but you can see offensively, particularly after since A.J. Brown's come back, they're starting to really put it together. Hurts is playing much more confident football. He's starting to take some chances running the football that he wasn't in the past. I think the Lions playing better. So, you know, Philly's a problem. Washington's legitimately a problem, even if the talent level there. It's funny, I was talking to somebody with the Commanders going into the trade deadline, and he's like, you know, our talent level really isn't representative. Like, the record is not reflective of the talent level. Is we're not there yet. He's like, we're sort of ahead of schedule. We caught some momentum, and they were going to be trade deadline buyers, and they were looking for like defensive line and corner, and I knew they had interest in Lattimore, but it's just right now the momentum in that locker room, the belief in Jaden Daniels picking up Marshawn Lattimore, everything's going their way right now. So they're going to be a handful. It's just the Cowboys are in a terrible spot in the NFC East right now, and I think it's really very, very possible that you end up seeing them easily have double-digit losses this season. McCarthy gets fired, and they start making some pretty significant wholesale changes. I mean, even on the roster, I think you could see some of those older guys on defense start to get flushed out. You're going to have to get the Micah deal done next offseason. It is a priority. I do think they will get it done because I think they'll make him the highest-paid defensive player in the game next offseason. Even when they were doing the Lamb deal, when I talked to people inside Dallas, they're like, Mike is still the number one priority, even though we're going to get Lamb done first. with everything we're doing right now in terms of holding back some of the capital is because they want to pay Micah.
No, the salary cap. I forgot that that's real. Charles, you mentioned the Cowboys, and I understand there are now there are lists forming in some front offices in terms of head coaching candidates. Have you got some, names for us?
Yeah, now that Dennis Allen's fired, you know, and Robert Saleh's out in New York, you're starting to get basically coaching agents are sitting there and they're starting to be informed they're going to be on the list once the teams start aggressively lining up interviews. I don't think it's a huge surprise, but especially high-end coordinators like Joe Brady is going to be on a ton of lists, the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator. You're going to see, interestingly enough, you know, like Aaron Glenn is – I'm not a huge Aaron Glenn guy, to be honest with you. Like, I think he's okay as a coordinator, but he has gone through the rounds in the past with interviews. He interviews really, really well. And I think especially the Saints job opening up is good for him because there's a lot of institutional knowledge about Aaron Glenn there, both in ownership, the front office, obviously played there. So I think that's a job you could see. Vrabel, though, is, from what I've been told, like the priority in terms of ex-coaches is not necessarily Belichick, that it could end up being Vrabel, and that Vrabel is definitely going to be on the Saints list for interviews. I don't know yet on the Jets. The Jets is murky because, like, something's going to happen with Woody Johnson with Trump winning the election. Woody Johnson's either going to be in his cabinet or he's going to be sent back to his ambassador position in the UK. So it's sort of like, how much is Christopher Johnson going to be making decisions again? The last time, you know, he made the Saleh hire and some of the other things that he did, you know, I don't think Woody was thrilled about that. So it's sort of, how does this all line up in terms of whatever Woody ends up doing politically, and how involved is he going to be in the interviews this time? And it's a little murkier there. But like I said, I was told, expect Vrabel to be in terms of teams that request, you know, ex head coaches or even have anybody like that on the list. Vrabel's going to be at the very top for most teams. Not necessarily Belichick. Belichick, I think, is still looked at as a fit. I know some people are just in love with the guy and are like, everybody should take him. I don't think he's looked like that. Look, that's not how he's perceived organizationally in the NFL. I think it's still fit. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Cowboys. It really will, because that's the marriage I would love to see happen, because I think it's a train wreck. And Jerry Jones is, I can't even, it's getting rough. Like, it's getting really, really rough. I Jerry Jones, after the last loss, he's out there and he's basically crying, but he's like talking about Michael Irvin, watching Michael Irvin cry. And like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, why is this guy talking about the mid-90s? I'm like, dude, I'm like, this is, we're so far past that now. You got to wake up, man. Like, stop bringing up that stuff. That has nothing to do with your situation now. He's like leaning on memories now to make decisions that are 30 years old in a league that was completely different than the NFL is now. And it's getting tough. I'm curious how much longer we see Jerry doing the every game interviews and the radio interviews. Cause I do think this season it's the roughest experience I've seen with Jerry doing that.
So, Charles, the Titans are traveling to L.A., taking on the Chargers this weekend. Chargers are at 5-3. They're in a playoff spot at the moment. What do you make of the job that Jim Harbaugh has done in year one with L.A.?
I mean, the team is authentically built the way that Harbaugh told us they were going to be built, right? I mean, they've faded a little bit. I it's funny because people are sitting there and I think when you ask people, what do you think of the Chargers? They're perceived as being this authoritative run team. And are they even top 20 in the league in like rushing yards this season? I don't know that they are. And, I think one of the things that's been most impressive defensively, they're playing better than I thought they would this season. I think Herbert is now, when you look at the expanse of the season, I wonder if some of it had to do with his health. he's starting to look like that guy that we all thought was going to be like a top five, top six quarterback in the league. He's starting to play that way. And I think part of it is Ladd McConkey has really, really fit there. That was one of those draft picks where I was like, that guy's going to be a perfect fit. And he's going to end up getting 140 targets a season. And he will settle Herbert down. That's really what has happened. I think Quentin Johnston, when I went through there in camp, you know, the kid had such a rough rookie season and his confidence was completely blown. And I talked to the GM, Joe Ortiz, and Harbaugh, and it was like, no, we're going to completely rebuild him. He'll be fine. And he's, you know, he'll still drop balls now and then, but he's going to be a big play receiver for us, and it'll balance out between he and McConkey. That's kind of what's happened. When Johnston's on the field and he's healthy, they're rolling. Like, they're getting that point. And they, interestingly enough, they were pretty aggressive at the trade deadline. They just couldn't get anything done. They were trying to buy, like, a high-end tight end at the deadline. They just never, you know, they were really interested in David Njoku with the Browns, and the Browns were like, no, we're not, you know, so all, potentially all-pro player this year. We're definitely not moving them. And but they're aggressively, and I think they're going to continue to aggressively hunt a tight end in the offseason. Maybe Colston Loveland, the kid out of Michigan, since Harbaugh's got that track record with him, I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up being a guy they target early in the draft. But really good offensive team. The Titans will have their hands full, I think, particularly in the passing game, even more so than the run game at this stage with the Chargers.
Okay, Charles, I want to go back to the Lions, because I've taken some crap this week, and nothing in my mind has changed, because the kid has, I mean, basically he was a Heisman top 2-3 guy, tears his ACL, and we haven't been able to see him play any football yet. But he's also right now sitting there and I collecting dust, and at some point I see no, I know things change fast in this league, but Jared Goff is entrenched and playing the best football of his life. And, you know, so let me ask you about Hendon Hooker. What do people think about Hendon Hooker in this league? Is this just going to be one of those, is he going to be like, you know, is this like a Packers situation for them where they finally have someone, they just sit there forever, and then at some point they think he's good enough to take over? Do they think less of him? Is it possible that there's a market for him?
Oh, I don't think they think less of him. I think they're very, very happy with him. And they also know that they have him under contract through 2026. And I actually was probably, I don't know, it was a couple of weeks ago. It was probably around the time where I talked to you guys and I said I'd really like to see Hooker get on the field. Spoke to somebody in their organization and I was like, hey, what about like trade deadline? Do you think there's any chance that maybe there's a team out there looking for, you know, a young quarterback to maybe take a shot at? And he was like, no, we're not dealing him. Like, they're very, very happy with him at the backup spot. And he's been amazing in the quarterback room, just prep, helping, you know, Goff get prepared during the week, scout team stuff. He's been great. I mean, they are absolutely like head over heels psyched about him, but they also know when they did the deal with Goff, the point there was, okay, we're really, if this works out well, we'll take Jared Goff into his late 30s with us, which, to your point, is, I would think this offseason, I would wonder if maybe there's a chance for them to talk to other teams about whether or not Hooker is a player. But the problem is he just doesn't have a ton of tape. You know, he hasn't gotten on the field and he does have some exhibition stuff. I think there were a lot of fans of him coming out. Obviously the age was an issue. And then the offense that was run at Tennessee was an issue, but he's had time to acclimate. The one thing I would watch is, let's see where Ben Johnson goes, because sometimes, you know, you see those OCs, they move. And then if they're looking for a quarterback, they're like, well, I know this guy. I've seen this guy in practice. Like, I'll be honest, like the Browning kid in Cincinnati, I'm kind of like, I wonder if Callahan has any interest in that, because that kid played really well when he stepped in for Joe Burrow. I think he's 30, you know, so he still has tread on his tires. And whether it's a bridge situation or sort of a, you know, like Matt Castle coming out of New England, that kind of a thing where the familiarity was there, and Castle did have some good years for Kansas City once he landed there. I would watch where Ben Johnson goes. And that Ben Johnson's going to be on every single head coaching list. He will have the pick of every job that's open. He's going to get an opportunity to interview there. So he's going to be able to pick where he wants to go. And then, you know, pay attention to what the quarterback situation is there. I would tend to think that if he goes somewhere and it's a bridge quarterback who's already in place. I mean, what if he goes to the Jets, right? What do the Jets have behind Aaron Rodgers? Nothing. They have nothing. Yeah. So where he goes, I think really matters, because he's probably got a better handle on Hendon Hooker than anybody else. But I just telling you, everything inside that organization, I think they would love to have him where he is for the next, you know, for eternity, as long as they can possibly keep him. They know that's not going to be the case, but yeah, he's done really, really well there. It's unfortunate he hasn't had an opportunity to see the field more, but that's just kind of how it goes.
Maybe it ends up helping him, right?
Maybe he starts. What's that?
Well, maybe it ends up being good for him, though, right?
Yeah.
Thing. He's absolutely able to develop without having failures on the field early.
Yeah, I'm a fan of redshirt, especially rookie year redshirts for quarterbacks. I know everybody says, well, they don't. Not really learning anything if you're not on the field. That's not really true. There's a lot of stuff that gets done with mechanics. There's a lot of there's bonds that get built. But like Jordan Love, it was funny. Part of Jordan Love's success with some of these guys, Romeo Doubs in particular, he was throwing to these guys. When Aaron Rodgers, that last year Aaron Rodgers was in Green Bay, didn't want to throw to any of these guys, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, and just couldn't stand them. Who do you think was throwing to him? Jordan Love was throwing to him in practice like every day. And so there is something gets built confidence-wise, learning the offense. And again, coming out of Tennessee, it's been difficult because their offense is not anything close to any sort of one-to-one. Like, I'll give you a really good example. Cedric Tillman, okay? This is a guy who's getting play now in Cleveland. I loved Tillman. I love the skill set. I remember when he was coming out of Tennessee, I was like, that is an NFL one, you know, that's a number one receiver in terms of like the build and some of the traits. And what I was told every time I went through the Browns, it was, give him a year and a half. It's going to take a year and a half. Like it's because the offense is just so different there. We're going to have to reprogram him a little bit in terms of learning, you know, the route tree in the NFL and all, you know, having to actually be on the line of scrimmage, a lot of different stuff. And when Cooper got traded, I texted somebody in the organization. I was like, is this Tillman time? And he was like, yeah, pay attention. And he's cranked. Like he's looked fantastic for them. And I think Tennessee, you get these guys that come through, particularly when you're talking about wide receivers in the quarterback position, where if you're patient, you know, and remapping what they're looking at and on the NFL level, you can have some success. So two guys that I'm curious to see, like let's say week 18, maybe the Falcons are good enough that Michael Penix gets a start in week 18, and maybe the Lions are good enough that Hendon Hooker gets a start in week 18, which I think both organizations would be really happy if they could get those guys out on the field and get them in, you know, a live full game under their belt at the end of the season.
Yep, no doubt about it. Charles, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
There's a request in my household, I was told today before I got on. Ask Rex Road if he's eaten any Halloween candy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I had 3 take fives.
Okay.
I admitted it yesterday. I know.
Okay. There was some odds exchanged in our household, so thanks, Joe. I lost my bet.
Dude, failure.
Bro, you bet on me to not do it? Come on.
Yeah, you sounded
Dawn. How does Dawn know me better than you?
You sounded very convincing. You sounded like you were a man of you just, this is what you were going to do.
Of health did. And conviction. Yeah. Yes.
That's right. Man. Let you down again. Right. My goodness. Yeah.
You owe me 10 bucks, awesome. Rex Road.
All right, I got you. I'll give it to you in take fives.
See you guys.
See you, Charles. Charles Robinson joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Preds pick to click. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Darby Hendrickson at 845. But right now, be the first caller, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scored for the Predators, you will win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.